holding a picture of Abraham Lincoln. And she said, "He died, Daddy." And pointing to the picture of the 16th president. "Yes, I know, Rebecca. President Lincoln died a long time ago. Someone shot him." I remembered that she had recently been paging through a children's history magazine that told of Lincoln's presidency. Now again, she was just 3 years old. "He was a nice man," Rebecca said. "It's wrong for people to shoot other people." Kid knew that much, huh? That's right. And that would be bad manners, wouldn't it? And he was smiling as he commented on her adorable attempt to express moral judgment. Bad manners, indeed, it would be. Her huge understatement is certainly understandable coming from the mouth of a beautiful 3-year-old girl who's still being schooled in what the writer here of this article says is the architecture of the soul, learning right from wrong. Sadly, many adults, this writer says, in our society, even some of our leaders, have become skilled at the art of understatement when it comes to morality and ethics. From abortion, that's now called reproductive rights, to adultery and infidelity, that is called sexual indiscretion, to outright breaking the law, which is called a lapse of judgment. Yeah, our language has come to reflect the relativistic and subjective attitudes of our culture, where everyone is left to determine their own right and wrong. The defense lawyer for an 18-year-old girl who, with her boyfriend, killed their newborn infant in Delaware. This defense lawyer was quoted as saying she did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong? Not surprising by way of a response, because the nation that promotes killing unborn children as a way out, and whose president at the time was not willing to ban the killing of infants. Yeah, that's what our society has come down to. A Winifred Egan put it this way, and I quote, "What irony that a society confronted with plastic bags filled with the remains of aborted babies should be more concerned, the society would be more concerned about the problem of recycling plastic." And yet that's what our society has come to. Well, Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, who is still honored by Planned Parenthood, she wrote a number of books and letters, and they include some interesting statements. Statements, my friends, that are ignored by the media, for sure, by the leftists, the liberals, and the progressives. Now, those three are related, the leftists, the liberals, and the progressives. But there is a distinction in each one of them. Don't ask me to tell you what it is. I just know it is from my reading, all right? But just because I read it doesn't mean I remember it. Good night. Our pastor's mind is phenomenal. The things he remembers that he reads. You wear that? Boy, I'll tell you, you sons, I hope you got at least something or part of what your dad has, because of he can read it and he remembers it. And then here, he'll quote things that he read 5, 10 years ago. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't remember what I read 10 minutes ago. Let alone 10 years ago. Of course, that does mean, doesn't it? I'm looking at the two down front here. That doesn't mean he remembers what happened 10 days ago when you were growing up, didn't he? Yeah, you can smile. It won't hurt. You got punished, and once he's done it, then it's over. Listen to what Margaret Sanger said. And I quote, "The most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Yeah, that's when she organized Planned Parenthood, you know what her plan was? Let me read that to you again. She says, I quote, "The most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Now today, Planned Parenthood and their kind, they won't use that plain blunt language. She said the most merciful thing that can happen is that they kill it. They don't call it that anymore. They disguise it. They try to cover it up. They lie. They lie. But she didn't. She said it right out front. You say, I'm not sure about that. Well, how about you get her book then, Margaret Sanger, Women and the New Race. You can read that on page 62. You know, see, that happens sometimes. Now, I don't believe this of any of you. I mean, I can't believe this of any of you. But I know through the years when I would give quotes like that, there was always some bird that would be sitting in that auditorium. And he wondered, is the preacher really, is that really what it says? He might be making that up. I don't think you should believe that of your preachers. At least you shouldn't if you would, okay? But that's what Margaret Sanger said. And then here's another one. She wrote in a letter to a Dr. Clarence Gamble on December 10th, 1939. Long time ago. Some of these things that founders like Margaret Sanger create, it takes time for them to brew and come to the sophisticated level that Planned Parenthood has come to. Planned Parenthood. You know what the plan regarding parenthood is? Get rid of as many of them as you can. That's what the plan is. You say, well, that doesn't sound very nice. No, I know it's not very nice. That's what you meant, huh? You weren't questioning whether I sounded very nice, were you? No, you surely were questioning whether what the Planned Parenthood says is very nice. Well, here's what Margaret Sanger said in this letter. Quote, "We do not want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." Now, I'm going to read that again.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to read that again because this was in a letter to this Dr. Clarence Gamble back in 1939. "We do not want the word to get out." They wanted to keep this a secret. "We do not want the word to get out that we want to do what? Exterminate the Negro population." Now just stop and let that settle in. If some Christian organization had said anything close to that, society would have closed them down.
Right.
You know why it hasn't closed down Planned Parenthood? Because society is happy to find a way out of the results of their sin.
That's right.
And they think what Planned Parenthood does is the way out. You say, oh, they help a lot of ladies. Yeah, they help a lot of ladies. That's a cover up for the dirty dog stuff they do.
That's right.
All right, we do not want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And Planned Parenthood trained black minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Uh-huh. So they had a black minister they thought was in their pocket. And if the word got out, he's the one who would kind of counteract it. Now, he either bought into the devil's plan or he himself was duped by those who came up with the devil's plan. You say, well, I can't believe that. Then go get some history books and read about it. Okay? Don't question your preachers. Don't question the ones that they're quoting. Man, all through the years of my ministry, I'd read something like that, and I'd have somebody come and say, is that really what it says? They were quick to question me and quick to give every bit of doubt and credit, that is, to the ones who were wrong and lying. Yeah, well, that's, you see, I get all wound up in some of these things. Yeah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5, if you would, in verse 20. Oh, yeah, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. I'm just waiting to give you all a chance to get to it. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. You say, why do you say it so often? Because there's bound to be at least one person like me who I'm still on the preacher's previous statement, thinking it through. And then the scripture's given, and by the time I realize it, what did he say? What did he say? So that's why there's got to be at least one of you that are like that. I saw John Vadas smiling, so apparently he's one of them. All right, Isaiah chapter 5, okay, and I'm looking at verse 20. Now, I've said it four times, so that even the most distracted like myself should be able to have it. All right. Chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good. Killing babies would be evil. And but people call it good. And then they call good evil. They call doing good stuff, well, that's wrong, man. That's narrow-minded. No, you see, that's just what God said here. They call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. Got them all twisted up. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own eyes. Yeah, they are. Now, there's more that it says there, but that's sufficient for my purposes tonight. I want you to turn yet to Psalm, if you will, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Where is it at? I know I got it here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Psalm 119 and verse 104. Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You see, you don't understand why it is that preachers would stand up and rant and rave against abortion. You don't understand why preachers would do that, especially when so many even preachers have bought into the whole lie. And through thy precepts, though, that's how we get understanding. Through the Word of God. We don't get understanding on these kind of subjects by listening to society. Society is part of the problem. But the Word of God, through thy precepts I get understanding. And as a result, when you get the understanding of the Scriptures, the result is, therefore I hate every false way. He doesn't say I don't have time for it. He doesn't say we realize it's not helpful. No, that would soften it down. God said, therefore, I hate every false way. In this service, I want to start a message and support the emphasis of love in what may seem like an unusual way. But I want to declare the very necessary way of showing love. General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, he died in 1912. Now, that was a while ago, huh? Over 100 years ago, well over 100. He said back when he lived, okay, he died in 1912. He said back before he died, he feared the day when the Salvation Army would have a salvation without regeneration. Regeneration is when man's made new, not just made religious. He said he feared the day when the Salvation Army would have faith without repentance. We got a lot of people preaching faith without repentance. Now, faith is necessary, but the biblical faith is going to have you turning away from sin. Now listen, when you turn away from sin, it can take some time for God to work His grace of growth in you for you to be built up in the faith. But nevertheless, faith without repentance is the work of man alone. And he feared the day. This is the founder of the Salvation Army, the bell ringers, you know. And when I go past a bucket at Christmas time, if I got change, I'll put it in. Well, I've even been known to pull out a couple dollars and put it in the bucket. Okay? So I'm not decrying their good work of helping other people. But the Salvation Army needs to get back to what General Booth said, that there come a time when they'd want to have heaven without hell. A lot of people are happy to talk about heaven. Sure, heaven's an okay subject, but people don't want to talk about hell. General Booth, that day is here. He could have added that he feared the day when there would be love without hate. Got that? He could have added that he would fear the day when there was love without hate. You say, well, those are opposites. You can't have love and hate. Yeah, you can.
Yes, you can.
You love righteousness and you hate unrighteousness. Right. You love godliness and you hate ungodliness. That's how the two exist together. That necessary truth that I declare to you today is that along with love, you need to have hate. This idea of all we got to do is love. All we got to do is love everything. No, there are some things you can't. You've got to hate them.
Right.
Billy Sunday is quoted as saying, "One cannot love flowers and not hate weeds." Okay, you cannot love flowers without hating weeds. Have you ever tried to grow flowers? You know that you've got to get down there and pull out the weeds. You got a vegetable garden? You've got to pull out the weeds. And listen to me, you've got to pull out the weeds. Don't put a city boy in charge of a vegetable garden. No. I planted the garden when we first moved from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, up to Shingle House. Fortunately, the rows were wider than they should have been. Because then when the weeds got so bad, I was able to push the lawnmower through it. But, that didn't solve the problem. Because it was the roots of those weeds that zapped the soil. Yeah. And I never did get much fruit or vegetables or whatever we planted. I don't remember what we planted anymore. How do I know? I didn't know how to garden, you know, okay? Fine. I gave it up, by the way. I found out I could buy them a whole lot more successful than I could plant them, okay? And now I'm doing some gardening now. Out behind our house, right up against the house, because I had to fence it in so the deer. Yeah, we have a deer problem in the city. And I had to fence it in, and I have 5 or 6 tomato plants, okay, right behind the house. But you know, them weeds, I don't know where they come from, but they keep coming. Now I dig them up, okay? Back then, I just mowed between the rows. But now I dig them up. But Billy Sunday is quoted as saying, one cannot love flowers and not hate weeds. That's about it. You can't love righteousness without hating sin. You can't love doing right without hating doing wrong. Why? Because the weeds will destroy the flowers. And the weeds of sin will destroy the blossoms of righteousness. I declare to you today that we all must learn to hate that which will destroy us. Now listen, it's not a matter of, well, we just don't like that as much. No, you gotta hate it, not just dislike it. That's one of the reasons why sin's allowed to ruin and ruin lives and be in control of so much. Because we've gotten to the point where we think we can coexist with it. We'll just keep it in order. Uh-huh. Yeah. Tell me, how'd that work out for you individually? How'd that work out for you personally when there was sin in your life? Were you able to just control it and still bloom in righteousness? You only think so. Ask people to watch you. They can tell the difference. They can tell the difference. It destroys our loved ones and it'll destroy our walk with God. We've got to hate sin. You love health, but you got to hate disease. You love peace, but you've got to hate strife and contention. You love marriage? That's good. But you've got to hate infidelity, because you can't have a godly marriage and infidelity. You're either faithful or you're unfaithful. You're either doing right or you're doing wrong. You love children, then you need to hate what destroys them. Well, I hate to disappoint little Mary, because if I don't let her do what she wants to do, she'll be upset. And she might throw a tantrum. Better to have a tantrum than to let sin get hold. The root of sin get hold in a person's life. You love truth? You can't love truth without hating lies and deception. You say, well, it's just a little white lie. God doesn't color lies.
That's right.
Sinful man does. So you love truth. You hate lies, deception. You love work. I love work. I think work's an enjoyable thing. Okay? I'd have people who they say to me, well, what do you do for your pleasure? Well, I tried golfing. That didn't work. Okay. I tried fishing. That didn't work. I tried hunting, and all I got for that was tired. Okay. And I tried all of the usual kind, and I didn't succeed. Finally, you know what? I came after about 25, 30 years of trying, I came to the conclusion, I like work. And that's what I just, people say, what do you do for your pleasure? I work. I either work in ministry, or I work mowing the lawn, or I work painting the frames around the house. I work. You say, well, that doesn't sound very pleasurable. It is to me. It is to me. It's very satisfying. Now listen, I don't have a problem. Somebody that likes to golf, they go out and they can golf and have a good time. Whatever other hobby. Somebody likes to fish. They go out and fish and they have a good time. I am not opposed to that. I am not putting that down. I'm just telling you, I like to work. And I got tired of people looking at me, treating me as if something was wrong with me because I didn't have some other kind of hobby. I didn't need any other kind of hobby. I like doing what I did. But boy, I'll tell you, they sure put me on a guilt trip all the time. Because I didn't like golfing. I tried all these things. Fishing, hunting, okay? Oh, jogging. Oh, that was a riot, okay? So I tried all these things. I finally came to the point when people say, "What's your hobby?" I tell them, "Work." They look at me like I had two heads. What's your hobby? I work. I like work. Sometimes it's the work of my employment. Sometimes it's just the work that I do around the house. Sometimes I work at working. I don't know what that is either. But work. You love work. You hate laziness. You got that? You love work. You hate laziness. You can't have success if you have laziness. Laziness does not breed success. Now listen. Work earned relaxation. Okay? You work. Your wife brings you a piece of cake. You work. Your wife brings you some lemonade or a cup of coffee if that's float your boat, okay? Whatever. That's not laziness. Okay? That's okay things. But you know what laziness is? That's the person who tries to avoid what? Work. Yeah. Work, it's good for you. Builds muscles. You say, well, apparently didn't build much on you. Well, you're right about that. But listen, it's good to promote love. We absolutely, unequivocally, for certain, and without question, must love and need to be loved. The church should increase in love, and we absolutely, unequivocally, for certain, without question, we must hate what God hates. Got that? We must hate what God hates. Our times are characterized by a sick tolerance for sin. Sin is not to be tolerated. Sin is to be hated. Sin in any form. An "oh well" attitude that will not work. Now, last scripture I have for today, and then I've got more on this message, okay? I used to make up a message and preach it in one time. Okay? And I used to be able to preach a whole message in 40, 45 minutes. Now it takes me 55, 65, 75 minutes to preach one message. You know why? Because I've got so many other illustrations. I have so many other thoughts. And I just keep, I can't keep on track. And this thought leads me to this thought and that thought. That doesn't bother me, but it sure can bother people sitting and listening. Okay, I mean, after all, 75-minute message? I don't hold me an exact time there that I just said, 65, 75-minute message. But you bring your watch during youth week, okay? You're not talking about a little 35-minute ditty. You're talking about more than that. And what do you see as a result? You see the Spirit of God work.
Yes.
Now listen, it doesn't mean that a sermon, to be powerful, has to be long.
Right. Right.
But it also means that just because a sermon's short doesn't mean that that's better.
That's right.
The important thing is that the preacher has connection with God.
Right.
And he gives what God gives him to deliver. And we'd like to think that that's always the case. Of course there's some times where we thought we had the direction of God and realized that we didn't. Well, hey, are you perfect in everything you do? Of course not. All right, now where are we at here? Oh, we're at Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, verse 21. And I'm going to end with this, and then we'll take your prayer requests. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. That's what the Lord said. Yeah, that's what the Lord said. You say, well, I thought God was a God of love. He is. He's a God of loving things that ought to be loved. And he's a God of hating things that ought to be hated. I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Well, we're going to continue this message later. I determined that I probably ought not to try and wear everybody out in the first night, or I won't have anybody who will want to come back and hear the next part. And I sure would like you to come back. All right. Thank you for listening on live streaming. Goodbye, good night, and all of that stuff. Yeah, Audie, that's not the usual way to end up a message, I know.